It's hard to speak. The power of God's love, Brendan, just shines. And it shines in all of us. We are each created beautifully in God's eyes. Hear our scripture reading this morning from Psalm 139, the 13th to the 16th verses. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Here again, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. If you are able, please stand for the reading and the hearing of our gospel lesson. Paulette is going to speak with us, and she'll include these scriptures, among others, in her sermon. But hear them as they apply to all of you and me. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the speaking of his word. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And Paulette, I'm going to ask you to come forward. As Paulette's coming forward, there's many things she's going to share with you during her message, and I'm not going to share those, but let me share just a couple of things. She was born in the Midwest, went to college in Kansas, met her husband there. They've lived in York, are currently in Lancaster. You have four children. You have five grandchildren? Oh, my. One of their children, Jessica, she'll speak about. You love all your children, and they're all rather extraordinary human beings. Paulette's husband is the president of Lancaster Bible College, and she has been trained as an elementary education teacher with training and working with children with learning disabilities. But since their daughter Jessica's birth, she has really devoted most of her time professionally in helping individuals with disabilities in their families, and she and her husband have been very instrumental in co-founding a ministry called Jessica and Friends. She's been instrumental in working with and founding other ministries as well. It is our honor and privilege to have you this morning share God's word and your testimony with us. Thank you.
It is a real privilege to be here today. Has anybody here attended Lancaster Bible College? Wow, you know, it might be the best-kept secret around. It's really pretty awesome. And we stay forever young being involved with college students. But it's a neat, neat place. And one of the fairly new departments that they are developing is worship and performing arts. And I think it's Brenton's dream to come, right? That's what your plans are. To come to Lancaster Bible College and further his interest and his love for music. And I can hardly wait to see you there. That's really exciting. Well, it's been 28 years ago that our lives were forever changed by having Jessica born into our home. Jessica was our third child, and we were concerned that she wasn't progressing in her development. So finally, at about 17 months, the pediatrician said, you probably should take her for some extensive testing. So we took her to Johns Hopkins, and we had a week of testing there. And at the end of that week, oh, and by the way, I was pregnant with our fourth child at that time. So it was a very, very stressful time. And at the end of that week, the specialist sat my husband and I down and just told us that he had some rather difficult news to share with us. And they had determined that Jessica was very severely, they used the word profoundly, disabled. And that life for her would never be normal as we know it. The specialist also told us, he wasn't very encouraging at all. He told us 4 out of 5 marriages fail with a child or with a family who has a disabled child. And he also said, you might want to consider just putting her somewhere because, well, that was back 28 years ago. And he said, because really your family, it'll be such stress on your family that you probably won't be able to have any kind of a normal family. So can you imagine the ride back from Baltimore to York? I don't know how we ever even got back. Our dear little Jessica was in her car seat, in the back seat, and she just was a precious little baby. And they had this awful diagnosis for her, and it was very, very upsetting to us. And really, our world temporarily collapsed as we just were told of these difficulties that we would face in raising a child with special needs. And you know, as a parent, we both went through the grief process because basically you have to give up the child of your dreams and you have to come to the point where you accept exactly what God has given you. And how do you do that? Well, we did it through the scriptures. And as we turned to the scriptures for comfort, we tried to understand God's purpose in allowing Jessica to be born with a severe disability. And I love the words to the song that you shared today, Brenton. God's word rings strong and true. I know I'll never be the same. I can see Jesus. And you know, that's what happens when you open his words. They are strong and true in our time of need. And that's where we got our comfort. And there were several verses that really, really spoke to us. One was from Jeremiah 1:5. We were reminded that God makes no mistakes. Jeremiah was called by God, and these words were spoken. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This hadn't caught God by surprise. He knew who Jessica was going to be, and he formed her. And then our scripture reading today from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, reminds us that God's hand and no other was on Jessica in the way she was formed and created before birth. And it was exactly according to his plan and his design. Jessica was not a mistake, or just because we had never seen another person quite like Jessica. We oftentimes laughed as she grew older. God must have designed her and threw away the pattern because we didn't know anyone like Jessica. But he had designed her exactly the way he wanted her to be. And God's character goes into the creation of every person. And that's a wonderful reminder to all of us, in spite of our imperfections, that we should have as much respect for ourselves as our Creator has for us. And just thinking of that verse, rereading that verse from Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It just helped me to embrace the truth that God knows the beginning from the end and had every day planned in Jessica's life. And that helped me to focus on the positive and see each day in her life as a gift from God. And then we've referred to this several times today, the passage from John 9, 1 through 3. That scripture helped me really the most as I was moving along the grief process, because it had the clearest statement to me of God's design in allowing disabilities, is that he has a purpose and a plan for every life. And just to remind you, it's the story of the man who was born blind from birth. And the disciples incorrectly assumed that this man was born blind as a result of his sin. And they asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Did you catch that? It wasn't an accident. The work of God might be displayed in that person's life. In other words, God was going to be glorified through that person's life. So that verse became very precious to me, and it changed my, "Why, God? Why this dear little baby that's not going to be able to speak and not going to be able to do all the things that we had hoped that she would be doing?" It changed our whys into, "How, God? How are you going to use Jessica for your glory? And how are you going to use our family, our other three children, and my husband and I? How are you going to use our family for your glory through Jessica's life?" So that was a real important step as far as moving towards acceptance. And there's a wonderful little phrase Amy Carmichael has said, "In acceptance lies peace." I love that, because when you come to the point, no matter what you're going through in life, when you finally accept it as from God's hand, he fills your heart with peace. And that's what happened in my heart and in my life. But, you know, that didn't take away the problem and the stressful situation that we faced, because the specialist was right about one thing, and that was there were a lot of stresses in our life with our dear Jessica as she was growing up. One thing, when she started walking about age 3 and a half, all of her developmental patterns were delayed, but finally about 3 and a half, she started walking. We were so thankful and all cheering her on when she took those first steps. But something happened to her when she started walking. And I said it was like she became like the little Energizer bunny that you used to hear the ads for. It's like somebody wound her up and she couldn't stop. And she just kind of flew. She just started running, and she didn't have any really perception of her environment. And she was like a little tornado ripping through the house. Whatever was in her way, that would go. If it was the lamp, if it was the picture on the wall, she didn't really do it on purpose. It was just that her hands were everywhere, and she was just flying. And then mealtime, whew, that was really a disaster. Jessica would be, we'd have a big table, and Jessica and I sat at one end of the table, and the rest of the table, she had the longest arms ever. So no matter where you put her food or her glass, she could reach it, and it would go. And every meal, it seemed like that was her challenge, to get her plate and to throw it. And so we all had to learn a lot of patience and not to react, because she was waiting for our reaction. And so we just learned to love her, and we tried to deal with these behaviors. And if anybody would have been looking in on us, they would have said, "Whew, that's quite a household." But it just became the norm for us. Jessica became, she has a lot of autistic-like characteristics, and she was just very hyper. Also, she had a sleep disorder. So basically for 21 years, she didn't sleep the night through. So, oh, I forgot to mention the first service, our in-laws lived with us for 21 years. So we had 8 people in our household, and Jessica would get up in the middle of the night and she'd start banging on her door or, you know, just pacing back and forth. And I had to get up and take care of her, or she would wake up the whole household, and that wouldn't be good. So it was challenging, very, very challenging. Also, Jessica was nonverbal. So sometimes she'd cry, or sometimes she'd do this behavior or that behavior. She couldn't tell me what was really the problem. So I kind of just tried to have to figure it out. I said she was like a big puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle, where you just try to put the pieces together and try to make sense of it all. And it was very, very challenging. We always tried to make Jessica the center of our family. My kids were all involved in sports, so every game that we went to, Jess was with me. I never did learn field hockey, the rules, but I was running around the field chasing Jess. So anyway, I was there, and my kids knew that my heart was right, even though I couldn't really watch too much of the game. But the one thing that was very important to our family that we were not able to do together was once she got a little bit older, she outgrew the nursery, and there was no place for her. She, you know, can't put just a wild child in the nursery forever. So the easiest solution after a while was that we just stayed home and took turns. One would take our three children one Sunday, and then we'd just rotate, and one would stay home with Jess. I remember taking many Sunday afternoon rides or Sunday morning rides when the rest of the family was in church, thinking, Lord, all I want to do is go to church with my family. And but I knew again that, you know, I had to commit it to the Lord. And in his timing, I think I felt like he would grant my desire there. Well, when Jess was about 12 years old, we changed churches. And the leadership of the church noticed that we weren't able to come to church together as a family. So they had been thinking about starting a disabilities ministry, and they asked me if I'd like to help start it. I jumped at the opportunity because I thought, oh, we could all go together to church, and maybe we can get a group of people around us that would support us and help us as a family. So we started this ministry, and it started with Jessica and one other person, and it was what became an amazing ministry. Today, it's Church of the Open Door in Shiloh. We called the ministry Wings, Winners in God's Sight, and today that ministry has about 40 people with disabilities that come every Sunday. We probably have over 100 people in the congregation involved. What's been so neat is to see what's happened in the change of the church. This is a church that before, when a person with a disability, to be honest with you, I thought the day that I walk through that church with Jessica will be miraculous, because I really don't like to be stared at that much, and sometimes she'd be jumping around and all that. And I thought, you know, I wonder if she'll ever be able to sit in that front pew and really be able to be accepted. And it's amazing, because today, well, first of all, God calmed Jessica's spirit, which I'm so glad about. But today, Jessica can walk to the front of the church with about 40 other people who are disabled, and they can sit there and they worship God in their own way. Jessica's way of worshiping God, she can't speak, she can't sing, but she rocks back and forth and she claps her hands. That's really quite appropriate, isn't it? Clapping the hands. So God reaches, answered a huge prayer in my own life to think that Jessica could be part of a worship service. That to me was just huge. But at this church, there's a lot of other changes that have taken place. One is we wanted to make sure that God's love was accessible to all. So one of the first things we had to do was to make sure, look at the building and make sure that people with wheelchairs and that our building was accessible. Then we ended up getting a bus, and we were able to pick up individuals that wouldn't be able to come to church. Their parents may have died, that type of thing. So we were able to bring people to church. And something very, very, very special has happened over the years. And it's kind of like the blinder, or something happens that people with disabilities are no longer really seen with disabilities. They're just seen as people that God has created for a purpose. And very special relationships have been formed. And we have people that just can't wait for these people to come through the door And they are there pushing the wheelchairs or taking them by the hand. And there, the attitude of the people has changed. That's the neatest part. If somebody blurts something out during a service, it's fine. And the pastor will oftentimes respond, "Amen, Richard," or something like that, you know, even if it's something inappropriate. But it's just a wonderful acceptance that we have seen there. And what's so neat is that they have become a vital part of the body of Christ, and they have many gifts and different functions to bring to the body of Christ. And without them, the church would be weaker. This church is just so wonderful and so accepting. Matter of fact, our Wings ministry and our own ministry, Jessica and Friends Community, the last several years they've put together a Christmas celebration, and we have the Sunday evening service. And the church auditorium was filled this past year. I think we had 400 people, and there weren't too many dry eyes as we saw these special individuals relating to our Heavenly Father in a deeper way than most of us do in worship. Totally unrehearsed, totally from the heart. They sing, they read scripture, they use sign language, they use drama in sharing the 12 blessings of Christmas. We started a bell choir. They did creative movement. You name it, they did it. It was awesome. And it was really an experience that brought all of us closer to God as they led in worship as we celebrated Christ's birth. So, you know, God has a purpose, and he has designed people with disabilities so that they can be a vital part of the body of Christ, so they can share their God-given abilities. And there just are a couple more verses I want to share with you to remind us what God's word says about all of us, really, how he wants us to use our abilities. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that all people are called by God, everyone. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Individuals with disabilities have an important work to do in the church. They may need a little help, and they may need a little encouragement to do it, but God has a plan and a purpose for their life in the church, and they need to be a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:4 tells us that all people have special gifts. The verse is, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit." Wouldn't church be boring if we were all the same? Be very boring. We have a variety of gifts. We all bring our gifts, and people with disabilities also have gifts that are needed in the church. No one is dispensable or unnecessary. And then 1 Corinthians 12:7 reminds us that all people are invited to participate in God's ministry. The verse is, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," or for the profit of all. You know, your life will be so blessed if you get involved with a person with a disability. You oftentimes think, "Oh, I'm going to help out here, and I'm going to bless their lives." Guess what happens? You receive the blessing much, 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 much more, because that person will bless your heart, because they will just, you will see just a God spirit in them, and they are just so real and so appreciative that you will be blessed. God invites all of us to rely on and participate in the ministry of the church, and he continually empowers each member of the body of Christ to reflect his divine image in ways that will serve and benefit the church. I love what Johnny Erickson Tada says about God's design and disabilities. She says, "People with disabilities are God's best visual aids to demonstrate who he really is. His power shows up best in weakness. And who, by the world's standards, is weaker than the physically or intellectually disabled? But as the world watches, these people persevere. They live, They love, they trust, and they obey him. And eventually, the world is forced to say how great their God must be to inspire this kind of loyalty. You know, 28 years ago, when our lives were devastated by Jessica's diagnosis, and we thought, we changed our whys to, how, God, are you going to use her life? We could never have imagined what God had in his plans for Jessica's life and how he has used her life for his glory. We are amazed that God has done exceedingly abundantly all that we could have ever asked or thought. Through her life, literally, we have ministered to hundreds of people. We have even gone to Hungary and to other world or other parts of the world to share God's design and disabilities and how important it is that we honor people with disabilities. And people there were so moved because they said oftentimes they aren't encouraged. And they never thought of that God had created these people for a purpose in life. We also have started a ministry, my husband and I, Jessica and Friends Community, 11 years ago. And through that, God has just brought together a huge number of people that we can minister to. We have 100 parents in our parent support group that have children with disabilities. And we offer them hope and we share our faith so that they know that Jesus is the answer and that through trusting him that they can have hope in a very, very difficult situation. We also opened 3 homes where we have Christian workers who serve 10 individuals in our 3 homes, and our daughter Jessica is actually in one of those homes. And they love these individuals in such a wonderful way, and they have devotions with them, and they sing with them, and they take them to church, and we had a caseworker walk into one of the homes once, and she said, "This I can feel," and she wasn't a Christian. She said, "There is something different about this home. This has a beautiful spirit in it." And we were able to say that's God's spirit. We serve 32 families in respite and community habilitation. If a child is born into a home, we train staff to go in and give that parent and that family a little bit of relief. So we're able to do that. And the newest thing that we're doing is we're going to open a faith-based community and integrated day program in the York area for people with disabilities. Oftentimes when people with disabilities are 21 years and older, the services stop. And there's not a whole lot of hope or future for them anymore. So we are creating a exciting, wonderful faith-based program. It's going to be based in York. We were able to purchase miraculously a building with 8,500 square feet. It used to be a bakery. And now it's going to be an awesome day program. And we're going to be able to share God's love with the people that come. And we are so excited. By the way, Jessica will be the first one walking through the doors. We've devoted our life to this in the last several years, and we can hardly wait for the day that she can attend this day program. We just marvel at the plan that God had for Jessica's life. As we heard your testimony today, Brenton, and your mom's testimony, who would have ever thought 18 years ago, that God would use Brenton in such a special way and I would say miraculously heal him, that he can bring music in such a powerful way. Here's a young man that has had to struggle so in life, and God has just empowered him. And that point where you, I'm sure, surrendered your life to God, and God saw that you were going to use your gifts, He gifted you very, very unusual there, Breton, and I would say miraculously. He is using your life to bring glory and honor to him. So that's the purpose in disabilities. It's to bring glory to God. And that's true in any person's life that has a disability. And I pray that as you look around you and you see a family in this church that has a child with a disability, ask how you can help. How can you encourage them? Be a special friend to that person with a disability. Your life will be so enriched. You will be blessed. So in closing, I just want to say, to God be the glory, great things he has done, and great things he will continue to do in the lives of those special people that he has brought into our lives that have disabilities. So thank you so much for letting me share.